The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Random disclaimer. By listening to Rollum Radio, you are subject to spoilers on any of the movies discussed. If you're not looking for candid reviews, take those earbuds out and tune back in when you've watched this week's film.
Welcome to Rollum Radio.
Welcome back to Rollum Radio. We're your hosts, Liv,
Mia,
Maggie,
Rania,
and Emma.
Throughout today's episodes, we're going to introduce you to our film of the week, picked out by yours truly, Liv Nearing.
Yes.
Give you some of our thoughts and get into that rating. We're joined by Emma, our fifth host, who has miraculously recovered from the plague.
Yay!
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Emma.
Hey, people. Okay, so my name is Emma Pavlik, and I am a second-year media production student.
Wow.
Okay.
Love it.
Yes, amazing. Okay, my Letterboxd top four. Number one, Civil War, amazing movie. Number two, Call Me By Your Name, classic. Three, Blue is the Warmest Color. Four, Thank You, Maggie, Coherence.
Yay.
Oh, beautiful.
Yep.
Love it.
Without further ado, let's get into this film. Let's give you guys a little film summary. So, Greg Araki's 1995 The Doom Generation is the second installment of his cult classic Teenage Apocalypse trilogy, and is honestly one of the most uniquely grotesque films you may ever see. Jordan White and Amy Blue, two troubled teens, pick up an adolescent drifter, Xavier Red, of course. Together, the threesome embark on a sex and violence-filled journey through an America of psychos and quickie marks. Alright, a little disclaimer for this movie. This is a very violent and mature subject movie.
Why do you like the movie, and where did you find it?
I found this movie a couple years ago, probably in like grade 11. And this was just right when I was getting into film. So it was honestly just a truly eye-opening film. Like, I had never seen something like this.
Mm.
Yeah, what did you guys think?
I think that we should start with Mia because she had some very strong opinions while watching the film.
I was watching it, I was picturing Mia watching and be like, oh my God.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I don't know why I'm being like targeted, not gonna lie.
I'm just excited to hear what you have to say.
Yes, what I have to say. Well, my brief, like, one sentence hot take is that it was nasty.
Right. And you guys got the unedited version. Yeah, so there's a version.
I didn't
that
know
11 minutes, I know, I should have explained this, but there's a version that is 11 minutes longer than the one that they, like, aired and they recorded, or, like, sold on tape, whatever, and it's just 11 minutes, and it had to be taken out so the movie would have an R rating and not be, like, illegal, but, yeah, I didn't rewatch that.
So we saw that version.
Yeah, and I didn't rewatch it, so you guys got all the gory details.
There you go.
Anyone else have any thoughts?
I watched it with Mia. I was just confused. That's my kind of summary. I was confused. I felt like in moments I got it, and in moments I didn't get it at all.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it in a way. I mean, it wasn't my personal like favorite movie, but I think it was like fine.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like it was campy.
It's very campy. It's not serious at all.
It's like Pulp Fiction, like knockoff kind of, you know? Like
it's like if John Waters were like gross.
No, but it's very you. Like it's very editorial. It's very like colorful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not my kind of movie, but I can see why people like it. It's very unserious. It's campy. I feel like it's satirical, and that's why it was like very like nonsensical in a way. I see why people like it. It gives you, and yeah, it was definitely a movie.
Great. I love how everyone's like, yeah, I didn't like it. It gave you.
No. Like, it's a cult.
I'm sick.
It's a cult classic. It's a niche, a type of niche.
Yeah.
And it's like not my niche specifically, but like there is a market of people who like it.
Now it's time for the real reviews. Welcome to Rollum Ratings. Our first category is storytelling. This covers writing, pacing, plot, and character. So,
okay.
I know you guys all love these parts
first
of the
time
movie.
First time starting off with a category, kind of nervous. Okay, listen, hear me out before I finish, but I feel like it's bad, but in a purposeful way. Like, the story isn't meant to be good.
It's not meant to be linear, yeah.
Yeah, and it's
well,
like,
it's a lot,
very
actually.
Unserious things are happening, but that's just because it's a very exaggerated, absurd, over-the-top movie, but it's meant to be like that. Like, you can't take any of the events seriously. Every time they buy things, the total ends up being like 666. Like, that's insane. It's not rooted in realism. I just feel like it's like these teens are killing people, but it's normal and it's casual. I feel like it's just it's a desensitized world that they're building, not realistic. I just wasn't a big fan of the execution. So that's what I'll say.
Yeah.
I'll go next. Okay. I kind of came into this knowing that storytelling would be the harshest category for me as far as this movie. So trust me, it will improve. I definitely thought my biggest issues were with the writing and the characters and like the acting. I thought that it kind of didn't have a particular plot, which I didn't mind. It kind of reminded me of Dazed and Confused. Like, there's no particular plot. It's just kind of people existing in a time. And
Don't say Dazed and Confused didn't have a plot now. That's too far.
Well, it didn't, but that's the point. Like, it's just kind of...
Girl, it had the plot ever.
Never seen it either, so...
I argue it didn't really have a strong one. It's kind of more just commenting on a period of time and a group of people. Less than it is like really driven by a strong plot. It's really not. And I felt that this was the same way, so I didn't have an inherent issue with that. I just thought the writing I didn't love because I found it was, as a lot of kind of cult classic movies are, it's a lot of statements. Like, they would just make these kind of grand statements that wouldn't necessarily connect to other things that they were saying. And it just felt very disconnected. And it didn't help that I thought the acting was pretty horrendous. Emma, take us away.
Okay, so, sorry, connecting really quick. I think it's very similar in a way of, like, satire due to, like the Scream franchise a little bit. You know, it's kind of, like, silly.
Same actor.
Same franchise.
That's true. Guys, I've never watched the Scream
movie. Ooh, that's crazy. That's next.
Anyways, for writing, pacing, plot, and character, there's worse out there. There's worse out there. 100%.
Yeah, like, I'm crazy. I'm not saying it's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the plot and the pacing are supposed to be...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I think, like, the visuals carry it, like, most of it. Mm-hmm. Writing's not great. Plot's not great. But you gotta do what you gotta do, you know? Like, I think there were so many other places where they were stronger. Writing wasn't one of them. That's fine.
Yeah.
I would go off of based off of what everyone else said. I think the writing was definitely one of the weakest parts of the movie. Because I think that, like... It was a very plotless movie, and obviously that's opinion-based, but
It's opinion-based.
But I don't like a movie that doesn't have a story, and I actually tend to like a movie that has a more simple story. I struggled a lot with the writing, because as I said, there was no plot, and also I think because the characters were bad at acting, and then also their dialogue was annoying, I really struggled, and I found that no one was likable.
I argue it'd be hard to deliver those lines because there's such statements that maybe all three of them were good actors and you wouldn't know.
Sure, but the acting was bad. Okay. So,
I'm not saying the acting was good.
Honestly, I mean,
the girl from Scream was the worst.
She was really bad. The guys were also not great. So, I don't know. I think for me personally, overall in this category, I struggled with the general premise, given the writing, the plot, and the characters. And so from there, it was a little bit hard for me to like the film in general.
Yeah. And I get that. No, I can see how someone wouldn't agree that the writing is good. The pacing isn't good. The pacing in the, like, bounds of the movie, though, I think is perfect. Like, the way that things are happening, they're basically going from disaster to disaster. And it's like, there's people saying this girl's name, acting like they know her, trying to, like, literally kill her. Yeah. And that's all the movie is. And then they have sex. And then they go around in a little circle. Like, it was such a testament to, like, the kind of subculture that movie was made for. Like, people in the 90s at that time.
Very 90s.
Yes. And it was just like... That's why I kind of look at it as a time capsule in my life, too. Just the, like, when I watched it, it was such a, like, monumental change. But I don't agree that I do agree that the writing is a little bum.
So what are these final ratings? Who started?
Like I said, I liked what they were going for, and I liked the theme and the narrative. But what I would say is because I didn't like the execution at all, and I feel like when you're watching a movie, the execution is, like, the main part. It's how much you enjoyed it. So I would say maybe a 2.2.
Okay. We're not going in order, so I'll go ahead. I'm going to give it a solid 1.
Okay. You want to give it maybe like a 1.1?
That's a gag.
Is it a gag? I kind of gave
Girl,
my
why don't
my
you give
piece.
It a negative at this I point?
I gave my piece. As give I said, I think that the writing was the weakest part. So I'm going to stand on my 1.
You should have seen her exact Letterboxd comment because it What'd is you say? Actually Wait, insane.
Why don't you follow me on Letterboxd, Liv?
Because it logged me out.
Log back in.
Yeah. So Mia's Letterboxd review was half star.
Half a star.
Not even
a 0.5.
I'm sending Liv a heart from across the table.
Yeah, sure.
And she said, to quote, "So this was ass." "Nothing good to say except I guess the Venetian blind moment. Horrible, nasty movie."
What? Horrible, nasty movie. Like,
she tagged it with "disaster and a half." "Yikes." "Phone scroll."
Phone
Wouldn't
scroll?
Rewatch.
Yeah, I will send him my review. Thank you. Liv, love you.
Love you. Appreciate you.
Okay. Love you so much. Okay. Emma.
Okay. Okay. Maggie, what's your rating?
Oh, I thought you were going to go.
Nope. You go.
Okay. I'm going to stand with Mia here and give it a one.
Ooh. And that's okay.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy. I'm going to be nice.
Hey, be mean. I don't care.
A two. Because I think that there are a lot of other things in the movie that overpower it.
Okay.
And are stronger. And you know what? Most movies are like that anyway, so it's fine.
Okay. Liv, close us out.
All right, closing us out. I'm going to give this a, I can't even lie, a 2.5.
Okay.
For this category.
Okay. That brings the final rating for the storytelling in The Doom Generation to a 1.74.
Gulp. Gulp.
Womp, womp. Let's move on to the next category, shall we?
Yeah. Let's move on to audio visuals. This covers cinematography, music, costumes, and the film's general aesthetic. What did you guys think?
Can I start?
Yes, of course.
No.
Sorry. This was what I liked the most about this movie.
Me too.
Agreed.
Me too.
Facts. I consistently enjoyed the lighting in particular.
Yes,
I
that
loved
one
the
scene,
lighting.
Sorry, that one scene where they go when they're walking in the parking lot and it goes from like pink to like green. And I just like
Yes,
them.
I thought that was really cool.
It, did
I did notice that. I did notice that. I thought that was really cool.
Loved the lighting. Loved the set design. Like I loved how every single motel that they went to had this kind of monotone or like monocolor.
The checkered room.
Checkered room. The red room. I really liked how they themselves and the way they were dressed and their hair and whatever, they were very like dingy and like gross. But everything that they were in, even though it was like dirty motels and gross convenience stores and all this stuff, I liked how it was all kind of shiny and perfect and clean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting.
The scene Liv just mentioned, there's one scene where they're like in a parking lot and the lighting changes like three different colors. And then just cinematography, some of the shots were also really interesting. Like every time they went to the little convenience store and they got something, there's like an overhead shot of like whatever food they got. I just thought that was cool. Like it was it was a nice visual. So I think that the movie, it shined in that sense. Like the visuals were definitely very intentional.
So it's kind of going to be a repeat of what everyone else said, but I feel like this movie's kind of like, I don't know, would it be fair to say it's like style over substance in a way?
For sure.
Like it's very hyper-stylized kind of cinematography. Mm-hmm. I think the scene, I don't know if you, well, you will remember, but the scene where they kill the guy at the convenience store.
Yes.
And then they get to the motel and the motel's completely red. And like, I think that whole like 15 minute chunk of the movie is completely like red and blue visuals. The doors are red, the pool is blue, her lip is red.
Yeah.
It's just like, I really like that part of the movie because I think it's so striking and so like just visually appealing.
Okay. My review of this. So have you guys seen what's that movie? Suspiria?
No. I'm scared. No.
So the cars with like the red lighting kind of in the distance, like bouncing off. Check it out. It is crazy. Mm. Look it up. Insane. I think that's what the movie's kind of like, the whole thing. Yeah. Just like campy lighting, campy backdrops, production design on fleek. Yeah. I loved it visually. I think it was really good.
All right. Love this so much. Everything about this movie visually is just actually iconic. Love it. Thanks. I'm going to start off the rating with a 5.
Okay, period.
5, wow.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3.5.
Oh, that's kind of low.
Wait.
Considering it was a 1 before.
I think
that's appreciative.
Can I hear why it's not a 5? Like just why it's not higher.
Five?
Just
it's a 3.5 for me because it wasn't enough for me.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to agree with her. In the context of the writing
in the context of the rest of the movie. It wasn't enough for me to be.
What do you guys mean when you say
genuinely shaken to give it? You know what I mean?
Oh no, but this is just a visual category.
Yes, I hear you on that, but I still think that I've seen things that are more visually interesting, and okay. I think that visuals can only take you so far. Mm-hmm. So it needs to match up to some degree with the story for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go directly after Mia to say I also give it a 3.5.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to give it a 4.7.
Okay, lit.
I loved it.
So what I'm going to say is, because I was speaking highly of it before, but I think it all boils down to personal opinion, and I prefer more of like a mundane cinematography rather than hyper-stylized, which is why I'm going to give it a 3.8.
And that's okay, guys.
Okay. The final rating for the cinematography, visuals, and audio category for the Dune Generation is going to be a 4.1.
Yay! Okay. Now for the trivial categories. Category is iconography. How quotable is it? Is there an iconic character, actor, or director? How camp is it? Go ahead, guys.
Emma, start us up.
Amy, I think she's iconic. And then there's just men. Like, sorry.
Hubba.
But like... Oh, that one guy, yeah. But like,
come on,
she's the icon. She's the star of the show. She's campy. I think the movie's campy. Period.
Period.
No other comments.
Thank you. That's it.
Okay, in terms of iconography, I would say it's a very iconic movie in the sense that I think for a certain audience, this could I can see how it is a cult classic. I am not that audience, but I can see that.
And I
think that there's a certain level of like, iconography. There's a lot of things that you could quote from this. Also, really quick, I'd like to say LA mentioned. I did appreciate that. When they were like, oh, we're taking the 405. I was like, well, he said he's from Encino. So LA mentioned. Yeah. Icon.
LA mentioned.
Iconic. Yeah.
My one sentence of iconography is just that I saw Parker Posey and I liked it.
Yeah. That's it?
Yep.
That's great.
I was happy to have her there. I was like, hey, girl.
Everything about this is iconic to me. It's campy. It's totally quotable. What is this? The Night of the Living Brain Dead? Like, that one's an iconic one. Yeah. Love the outfits. Love the hair. Love the characters. Love the quotability. Love it.
I think that I liked the, like, very American landscape. Like, it's, like, a very exaggerated American landscape. It's, like, the highway. It's, like, the convenience stores. And it's, like... all that. What was it? Like the motels and everything. Yeah. And I thought it was very, like, I really liked that. I don't know if that would count as like visuals or cinematography, but yeah, it was a vibe.
It was iconic to you.
Yeah. So what are these ratings, folks?
I'll go. I'll give it a 3.8.
Okay.
Okay.
That's generous for Maggie today, I feel.
Right. Okay, I'm going to follow up after Maggie and I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3.6 to be annoying.
Okay. I'll give it a 4.2.
Wow.
Yep, I'll have to agree. 4.2. You know what? Let's do 4.3.
Whoa.
Yep, real edgy over here.
That's good. All right. You know I'm going to give it a 5. You know I'm going to give it a 5.
You got to.
Hey, I was respectful in the writing.
Yeah. Okay. So that brings the total score for the iconography category to a 4.18.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
That is right.
Okay. Deserved.
Finally, we have our personal beef score. What just irritated the hell out of you? Justified or not? What do you guys think?
Okay, I'm going to start off because obviously I have beef.
Of course.
Justified or not? Justified. And the movie was nasty. There was a lot of nastiness that took place.
It was a little too crude for you.
That was nasty and gratuitous and unnecessary.
Like gore? Do you not like gore?
I didn't like the gore. I felt it was a little bit graphic. And I didn't like... Honestly, even sometimes the food. Nasty.
No, one truly nasty scene is where the guy dies at the convenience store. There's like throw up coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, and that is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about nasty.
Personal beef. I would say justified. I had a lot of beef with... the dialogue. I had a lot of issues with the writing. Unjustified, Xavier Red burped far too many times.
There was a couple
that needed to
stop.
It was
excessive. That's what I mean. Nastiness.
I'm really against the burping.
Okay, it'll kind of just be what I brought up before, but I think maybe the plot, even though I don't even mind stories where there's not much going on, but I didn't feel that it was super cohesive. Maybe that's just me. And I feel like a lot of it was plot for the sake of the theme that they're pushing.
Emma!
Okay.
Emma's first personal beef category.
Guys, I don't really have any personal beef. I don't have any personal beef except for the dog dying. Did not like that.
Yeah, I forgot.
That kind of annoyed me. You know, I feel like it was kind of like unnecessary.
Yeah,
like I get the point of it. Ronnie and I were talking about it earlier.
There was so many. I know there were so many other things I forgot about that one.
Yeah, Ronnie and I were talking about how it's like it builds into the storyline, but like, girl, I don't want to see no dog dying. Like,
no,
it made me a little sad.
My personal beef with this movie is not really anything. The acting is dry and it's hard to get through sometimes, and some scenes do drag on. Like, if they're not visually appealing and they're just talking and the writing's a little bum, then it drags on. But overall, I like this movie.
And now, before we get into the scores, just a reminder that we do this one oppositely. So if you didn't have a lot of personal beef, you would be a 5. And if you did, you would be a 0 or a 1. Because you're trying to lower the score.
I'll start off with a 4. Actually, I'll start off with a 5.
Yes, you had no beef.
No beef.
That's great.
It's beautiful. Raise that
score. 4.5, I'm sorry.
That's beautiful.
Final answer, 4.5.
That's beautiful. I'm going to contrast you with a 1.
Okay, well, that's okay.
And I'm going to contrast you with a 4.5.
Yeah!
Oh. Really, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, my only thing that I didn't like was a dog dying. I'm not negative Nancy over here.
Oh,
no.
Was that a dig?
Not a dig. Sorry, guys. I love everyone.
Rania, please.
Okay. Well, because I feel like it's a very middle ground rating, I'll do a 2.5.
Mm. I'm going to give it a 2.
I like that laugh.
Yes. So that brings the total score for the personal beef category to a 2.9.
All right.
Yay.
Now it's time for the final rating.
Oh, boy. It's time. It's time for the final rating.
Liv, I think you should consider a voice acting career.
You should. Because
honestly, you're doing impressions of, like, everyone, and they're all, like, very
Ronnie does
on.
A really good Selena Gomez.
Do it, do it.
Really?
Please, please.
Ronnie. No, that wasn't good. That wasn't... Me and Bunny just came back. No.
Wait, that's really good.
I love the way she
said
that.
I feel like it could do Kendall
really
Jenner.
Good. That was really good. Like, I just love the way Selena Gomez speaks, like Bunny. Like, I don't know.
It's so
And then everyone's
good.
Always what? Like, it's her lupus. I think that's just her voice.
Like,
I think
you're going to sound like that.
I fear not. I fear not. That brings the total Rollum Radio score for the Doom Generation to a 3.52.
Woohoo!
Yay. You know what, though? It's funny because I thought it was going to be lower from the way everyone was speaking.
I know.
Before.
All together, gang, was it worth the watch?
Yes. I'm going to say no.
Oh.
Okay. Fine.
I'm going to say no. I could have used my hour 30 back.
Hour 22, please.
Hour 30.
Hour 30.
I say it was worth the watch.
It's
very
worth
influential.
Watch, yeah.
It's a whole sort of stream that you don't see that often. And it's interesting and it's intriguing.
This is my take.
Yes.
Not necessarily my favorite movie. Not amazing. But I think it's one of those movies you gotta watch. You just gotta watch
it. It's like Charlie Chaplin. It's important,
yeah,
it's not good.
It's like Charlie Chaplin.
But you know what?
The Doom Generation is the modern Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell him you said that.
No, Rania, what do you think?
I don't think I could ever, unless it was really bad, watch a movie and be like, it wasn't worth it. Because I feel like... Like you said, like we're broadening our horizons and we're learning about different things. So I feel like,
All right, everybody, let's roll the dice and find out who's up next week.
Rania! All right, Rania, what's your pick?
My movie is going to be the 1975 movie by Sidney Lumet, Dog Day Afternoon,
woman?
With Al Pacino.
Woo!
Okay, woo!
Wait, directed by a woman? Exciting. Is that what I just heard?
No, Sidney Lumet. That's
Sidney as in boy?
And he also directed 12 Angry Men, if you've seen that.
I have seen that. It all happens in a day. Like I said eight.
Yes,
Angry
I think
Men.
He's just like very obsessed with making movies that happen in a day. Yeah. But no, guys, it's like really good.
Okay, he's a
good and like,
director.
If you don't like it, I won't cry.
Okay, but we're excited.
It's so good, so yeah.
Thanks everyone for joining in. Tune in next week for a review of Rania's film, Dog Day Afternoon. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and that'll be 666.